for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, July the 6th, 1992. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Well, I want to ask Donnie Morris to come up and greet you this evening. He's going to be ministering to us part of the services before the camp meeting is over. Come, Donnie, and greet these people and have a word for them here this evening. Amen. He's from over in the East Country.
Yeah, Florence, South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
A lot of people get this mixed up with North Carolina. We are close together. I'd like to say it's good to be here, and it's our first time to be this part of the country, and we greet you tonight in the name of the Lord. If it be permissible just to take a moment for me to get acquainted with you and you with me, we pastor a work at home, and we've been there for about 15 years, and the Lord has just blessed us with a beautiful new building, Brother Glenn. And they're finishing the air conditioning work in it this week, and we surely thank the Lord for this. We've been where we are for several years now, and the first building that we put up, the building that we have been in, the Lord certainly proved us with this building. We really seemingly went through a lot of tests to even get this building up. And the Lord spoke to us back September and said that I approved you with the first building, and I'm going to bless you with this second one. And he has done that. We've built a 30 by 112 foot building. We started in September, and we're already using the building, and we're debt free. Everything's paid for. We haven't had to go in debt for anything at no time. And the Lord certainly has blessed us. And I know what God does at home. I know God's done it all over the country, and I know the Lord will do it here for this people. I read from the book of Acts. I'll just read a scripture here. It's a familiar scripture, I know, to probably all of us. But in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, from verse 28, the scripture says, "For in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being." Hallelujah. "As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." I'm glad to be a part of the purpose and the plan of God. You know, there's a lot of God's people, like the elder brother. We know so much about the prodigal. And you know, for so long he was on the outside looking in and couldn't understand what was going on. But it's in God that we live. I told our people at home I stay at 3300 North Meadowbrook Road. That's where I stay. But, amen, in him I live. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you that's the truth, folks. We have got to find that place that we know the reality of how to live in God. You know, the land is in perplexity. The creation is cursed. There's more trouble today than ever before. And I know there's exceptions to the rule. Well, I told our people at home just recently, we're in such trouble, there's no sense in teaching on the exceptions of the rule. Amen. How do you understand what I'm saying? I'll tell you, there's one case here and yonder that you can say, well, exceptionally is doing good. And we'd rather teach on the exceptional rule. I'm telling you, we're in trouble. Amen. Everything that is outside of God is in trouble today. And I'm telling you, God's raising up this army, amen, to clean up this mess. And this mess is worse today than it's ever been. And I'm telling you tonight, unless you and I come to the reality to know how to live and move and have our being in God, we too are in trouble. We need some more poets, amen, to tell us, amen, that we are His offspring. Amen. We belong to God. Amen. And I'll tell you, it's good to be numbered, amen, with God's people and to know God in the land of the living. How many know this right here is to be the land of the living? Amen. If I express anything to you tonight, and I'll sit down in just a moment, and that I encourage you to learn how to live in God. Amen. Hallelujah. Learn how to live in God. Amen. That would be my prayer for you this week and for the whole body of Christ. There is a knowing how to live in God. And I encourage you. Amen. Hallelujah. And I encourage myself. Amen. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I encourage you this week while we're here. Amen. To learn how to live in God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's more than just being in this building. There's more than just fishing on the lake. There's more than taking a scenic route. We really need to learn how to live in God. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you this evening. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
We've known Donnie and his wife for quite a while, been in a lot of services with them and where he's ministered, and we appreciate his ministry and what the Lord is doing through him and by him and his wife and in their area and in the areas where they go and minister. So we just count it a privilege to have them to be with us for the time they'll be here this week. Well, and we're glad that Brother Jack Harris is getting his strength back strong and looking so good. He's going to come and minister to us for a few minutes here, whatever the Lord does with and through him. Amen. Brother Jack Harris.
Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Appreciate that good word, Brother Donnie. I've known Brother Donnie and Trish for a long, long time. Since they've been in the ministry. And they've been in the ministry since they were kids. Yeah. And they've done an excellent, really good job. They really stuck it out through some hard times, but they never wavered, and now God's been gracious to them over the last few years, and it's just a living testimony. I always say, after quoting that scripture that Donnie quoted, that it is equally true that in us He lives, He moves, and He has His being. Oh, my. One of those thrills me about as much as the other.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, it is indeed, Paul described this day, I think he was describing this day, when he said perilous times would come. Ours is kindly an unusual situation. We as Christians, we that are kingdom sons, we live in a kingdom that is in a kingdom. And the kingdom that we live in is not, it doesn't come by observation. Of course, when it is fully come, it'll be easy to observe. But right now, it's in our hearts. And each kingdom, we are more familiar with the kingdom of the world. And it has its influence on us. I don't care how spiritual you may get, your society will influence you. The society that you live in will influence you. We are in the world, and the world is demanding our allegiance. And we belong to the kingdom of God, and He's demanding our allegiance. But you're just like me. What you'd like to do is have the best of both. Yeah, that's what we'd like to do. That's the old man here. He would like to have the best of both. Give me the best of the kingdom world, best of the kingdom of God. But there are certain principles that just won't let that happen like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But know that the Lord hath set apart them that are godly for himself. Amen. The Lord will hear me when I cry. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. But there be some that say, who shall show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. For thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the times when their corn and wine were increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only causest me to dwell in safety. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hear, O people of God, house of the Lord, and know that it is true that darkness has come upon the land, yea, and gross darkness upon the people. But it is time for you to arise and shine, for the light of the Lord hath shined upon you. Yea, listen intently, and you shall hear a voice from his excellent glory, yea, that shall say, come up hither, and thou shalt draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto thee. Yea, and thou shalt look again, and thou shalt see a light, yea, that radiates from his excellent glory. Yea, and that light shall cause your eyes to be enlightened. And I tell you now that you will never be the same again. For the Lord of glory, yea, has stirred you deeply. Yea, and you've heard the depth of the voice of the Almighty, and deep is calling to deep. Yea, and expansion is coming, growth, and I am gathering a people unto myself, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I plan to captivate you, both spirit, soul, and body, saith the Lord. Yea, until I have fashioned you like unto my likeness, to do the work of the Lord. For know that there remaineth much land to be possessed, as of this day, saith the Lord. Yea, much has already gone behind, yea, and has become history, yea, and that you can build upon, yea, and that you can bask in glorious remembrance. But I tell you now that the greatest is held in front. Therefore slack not, for it is not a day of turning back, but it is a day of going forward. It is not a day of defeat, but a day of victory. Yea, you are the children of God. Yea, and the things that the wrath that falls upon this world shall not come unto thee, saith the Lord. Yea, but I shall lift you up above. Yea, and I shall sustain you through all the drought. Ye shall be my people. Yea, and I will be your God. Yea, and I shall make you strong by the power of my might. Yea, I shall feed you on my word. Yea, I shall anoint you with my spirit. And ye shall go forth as fatted calves that have been fatted in the stall, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I shall feed you with knowledge. It shall be line upon line, a little here and a little there, until at last you stand in the fullness of the stature of him who hath called you into this glorious race, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall build my life up in you, saith the Lord. I tell you now that I have apprehended you. I shall not cease to work to deliver you unto myself. Yea, I shall not cease to make you grow. I shall not cease to impart knowledge. I shall not cease to impart light and life to you. Yea, I shall not cease working with you until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of your Lord and of his Christ. And thou shalt know as you are known, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and all the riddles will be solved, and the mystery shall be finished. Yea, and you will be alive. Yea, and that is the life of God. Yea, and you shall live forever in my presence, saith the Lord. Yea, for I have spoken, and who is he that can gainsay a word that I, the Lord, do utter, saith the Lord. Yea, listen intently for the voice from his excellent glory. Yea, challengeth thee to draw nigh unto me.
Yea, you can judge the distance. If you draw an eye unto me, I'll draw an eye unto you, saith the Lord thou God. I shall pour out a new anointing on you every day. Don't you know, and have you not read, that he loadeth us daily with benefits, saith the Lord thou God? Yea, you are my beneficiary, saith the Lord thou God. I shall equip thee with light that shall not know death, saith the Lord thou God. Ye shall go over and not under. Yea, for you shall not be overcome, saith the Lord. Yea, who is he that shall separate you from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor powers, nor principalities, nor angels, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yea, and thou shalt let your light so shine among men that they shall see the glorious light and adore your Father, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and as thou dost radiate with the light of God, I shall draw unto thee. Yea, I shall give you favor with those that you come in contact with, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and you shall be beloved by many. Yea, thou shalt be beloved by many, yea, and grace, and multiplied grace shall be given unto thee, saith the Lord. Yea, if thou doth make a war against the enemy of your soul, the Lord thou God shall go before thee. Yea, I'll make the mountains low and the rivers narrow. Yea, and thou shalt be well able to go over. Thou shalt be a conqueror and more than a conqueror, saith the Lord thou God, because the Lord hath anointed, the Lord hath chosen, yea, and you are mine. I am jealous over mine, saith the Lord, with a godly jealousy. Yea, I shall not give thee over to another. Yea, and know that there is not a power in earth, or beyond the earth, or beneath or above the earth, that can pluck one of you out of my hand, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, for you are mine of mine calling. Yea, it was not your idea, but it was mine. Yea, for know before the foundation of the world, yea, I had you in my mind, saith the Lord. I had you in my mind's eye. Yea, I know your down settings and your rising, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. We used to sing an old song. Some of the words went like this. If I falter when I'm trying, don't be angry, Lord, let me stay. I'll be willing, Lord, to run all the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord God reigneth. He's clothed with majesty. He's clothed with strength whereof he girdeth himself. The earth is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. The floods have lifted up their gates, the floods have lifted up their voices, but the Lord God on high is mightier than the voices of many waters. That means he's mightier than public opinion. Hallelujah. Don't sway with public opinion. Hallelujah. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I shall be your God, and ye shall be my people, saith the Lord. Yea, the Lord God is mightier than the voices of many waters. He is mightier than the waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure, and holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, for ever. Hallelujah. 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 You can't lose with God on your side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it's all a matter of positioning ourselves. And then we get him on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. We want what God wants. We used to, my wife used to worry about church there at home, the pastor room. And you know, sometimes you get a little bit of, people get disgruntled, and or for various reasons they move on. And my wife's always afraid that, used to be years back, but I think she's got over that now. But, you know, well, it looks like, and you know, but I always had, well, I tell you what, if God wants to move a gun church here at Begbo, he'll have one. And if he don't want one here, I'd be a fool to want one. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all in his hands. Yeah. Hallelujah. See, if he don't want it, we'd be a fool to want it. Hallelujah. Amen. And what he wants, he gets. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think he's not getting it. We think it's coming late, but he knows about that, doesn't he? The timing is in his hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The timing is in his hand. You know, the enemy confronted our blessed Savior on many, many occasions. And he confronted the Father to allow him to execute his legal rights and take the blessed Lord's life. I'm glad the timing was in God's hand. Finally, God turned his face and darkness hovered over the earth, and he executed his legal rights. The Lord had to die. Not that he had done any sin, but he had taken mine upon him and yours. And now Satan has a legal right to take his life, but he stripped him of all of that. Hallelujah. Well, I have an idea that I have been the conversation between the maker and the enemy, and he has confronted the Lord to beg the Lord, now let me execute my legal right and take his life. And God just wouldn't permit it. And so I live. Hallelujah. I live. The timing is in his hand, and I'm glad it is. Hallelujah. 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 Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Brother Earl Moore is going to come and teach on our dear friend Daniel.
Oh, hallelujah.
And amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm so glad he holds me in his hand. I'm glad that everything is under his control. It'll really keep you from having a nervous breakdown. You know. And you can always remember this. The Lord has never lost the recipe for manna. And he's never forgot the secret of how to get water out of the rock and how to multiply loaves and fishes.
Right.
Glory.
Amen. Amen.
It's the same yesterday, today,
amen,
and forever. And we have not yet seen the fullness of the manifestation that he's purposed for a people in this end time. The most glorious day that man has ever known is dawning right now. We're hastening unto that great and glorious day of the Lord. Joel said it's a twofold day. For some, it's a day of darkness, gloominess, dark clouds. But to the other people, it's the breaking and the dawning of the day upon the tops of the mountains. Thank God we're living in the day of the Lord. Whatever light's shining, that's the day you're living in. Somewhere in this world, it's already tomorrow, as far as we're concerned. You got 2 days on this earth all the time. Spiritually, there's 2 days. There's the day of the Lord, there's the day of the enemy. Now, it's all according to which day you want to live in. The Lord said, we've been translated out of one into the other. And I want to live in the glorious kingdom and light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How good and how wonderful the Lord is. Brother Golden stirred me this morning. Hallelujah. I appreciate my brother. As we said there last night, remember your pastors here in the camp when you leave. Remember Brother and Sister Golden. Hallelujah. For the harvest God's called them to, even I've called you to. that you can share in that harvest. Strengthen the hands of a prophet, and you'll receive a prophet's reward. God's a great big God. He's a miracle-working God. Before we looked in the book of Daniel, someone asked me about, in the book of angels, I had a testimony where I was in the Methodist Hospital in Annapolis, and I had 6 perforations in my intestines. I had a diverticuli condition due to some bacteria I got out of the water while I was in Nigeria, Africa. And I was one that did not want to submit to surgery. I came right to death before I finally submitted to it. And I was more dead than alive when they took me to the hospital. Gangrene and peritonitis already set in. And they had to take out my insides and wash me out. Take out the perforated section. It's like having 6 ruptured appendix. And but God healed me. And I was in a real state of depression about it. Because I just knew God was going to heal me. The doctor come in and do the pictures. Surgery set for tomorrow. And I got a telephone call from a lady. And she said, "Brother Moore, is everything all right between you and God?" And I said, "Yes, as I know why." Well, she said, "Last night in Brother Henderson's prayer meeting, a prophecy came, you're going to die on the operating table." And I knew that if that was going to happen, I'd want to know that too. So I went into a real state of depression. And the doctor said, you know, that if we don't operate, he's going to die. And his condition, if we operate, I don't guarantee he's going to make it. Because he didn't tell me to tell my wife this. And that afternoon, after I told my wife, I said, "It's all over with. My life's over with. My ministry's over with. It's all finished." I pulled the curtain around my bed. I buried my head in my pillow and I began to cry. With tear-filled eyes, I felt a rustle to the foot of my bed. I opened my eyes, and standing at the foot of my bed was an elderly, somebody dressed in white. And I said to him, "Oh, go away, I'm all right." He said, "But I'm an angel of the Lord. And I've come to strengthen you for the hours that be ahead of you. You're not going to die, but you're going to live. It's not the end of your ministry. It's the beginning of another ministry, even a greater ministry than you ever had." Hallelujah. He said, "Those that say you're going to die are only those who do not know him who has declared the end from the beginning." My brother said, "Time was in his hand." Hallelujah. And I'm so glad it is. Praise the Lord. Said, "Take and write these things." And I took and I wrote. I reached over to the table beside me and I got a piece of paper and a pencil and some Kleenex and wiped my eyes. And I thought I'd turn around, see who this is more clearly. And because it's just a blurred figure there. And whoever it was, what it was gone. And I realized they wanted me to write what had already been said. My wife came in that night. She said, "You don't look the same person that left here this afternoon." I said, "No, I had a visitor." And I said, "I want you to take this now, and I've written, and I want you to take this home so they can't say I wrote it afterwards." Because they didn't know if they was going in for an exploratory operation. It wasn't until they got in, realized how bad and how serious I was. And the doctor said he still only got about 1 chance, maybe in 100, of making it. And my wife would walk home, and she would walk the floors, and she'd wave that paper, and she'd say, "But Lord, you said he's not going to die, he's going to live." I was 6 weeks in the hospital, but God brought me out victorious. The whole thing happened was a miracle. I was having a radio broadcast in Anderson, Indiana. We were praying for people and for the sick and ministering to them over the radio. And I got a letter through the mail, and it was addressed to Elder Moore, Anderson, Indiana. The man at the post office said, "You're the only Elder Moore I know in Anderson." Said, "This must be yours." "It isn't." "Well," I said, "we'll try and find out who it is." And I opened it, and there was a man from Nigeria, and he said, "I was praying, and the Lord gave me your name and address. And said, if you'll come over to Nigeria, we'll have a great revival." That happened in Bible days. It don't happen in our day. So I took it with a grain of salt. But thank God for a dear sister in my church. She said, let me at least answer it. And I said, all right. And I said, when you do, write and ask him, what in the world is he wanting? What's it all about? In the course of time, 3 weeks there, three, four weeks back, I finally got an answer back affirming me that the Lord had given him my name and address. He didn't even know who the President of the United States was. He's an unlearned Nigerian pastor, a Baptist, non-spirit-filled Baptist minister, had 90 churches under him. And down at the bottom, he said, please come over to Macedonia and help us. I got on the radio and I said, we've been praying for you folks. Now this morning, I'm asking you to pray for me. For as fast as I can get things together, I am going to Nigeria. I read the letters. I said, I haven't got the money, don't know how it's going to happen, but this is of God, and I've got to go. The phone rang right up the broadcast, and the lady said, would you bring the letters by and let me see them? Give me her name and address. And I said, yes. Hung the phone up. And my wife said, who was that? What did she want? And I told her, didn't she believe what you read? She just some nosy person wants to read it. Letter, I said, well, I don't know. She said, I think before you go clear across town, because well, it was right down, said, I'd call and get a little more information before I just say yes and drive over there. Well, I found she had an unlisted telephone number. My wife said, you can go if you want to over there, but I'm not going with you. I said, that's all right. I'm going. So I went over there, and I showed her the letters, and she read them, and she wept. Now, she was belonged to United Brethren Church, of all of the Holy Ghost-filled people that God could have spoke to. She said, my husband and I planned that after he retired, he worked at General Motors, we were going to spend some time in the Middle East after he retired. But on his 64th birthday, he dropped dead of a heart attack. And the money for our fare is laying in the bank, and I've never known what to do with that money. And the Lord said, something spoke to me. He said, could it be the Lord? And said, pay that preacher's fare to Africa. And she said, if you don't mind, take me down to the bank. And I took her down to the bank, and she drew out the money to pay my expense and my fare. Round trip to Nigeria, Africa. And I began to get shots and get ready and took off for Nigeria. And it was something I never really understood. Of course, the Bible said if you go out weeping, doubtless you'll come bearing Christ's sheaves. But most preachers go out shouting and rejoicing and come back weeping. And that's about the way I was going. I preached my way clear to New York City to take off, and church after church, and sharing all this wonderful. I've been called. It's, ooh, you know. And I got over there, and little town way back in the bush country of Nigeria, a place called Aba. I wanted a car in the whole town. I stayed in the only house that had a tin roof on it. And a man that's supposed to know how to cook for me. And I'd stopped in Ghana because I knew of a man there from Ireland. And he saw how greenhorn I was about going, and he took me down and got me filtering systems and all I needed, equipment I needed to go into Nigeria. And he said, now you don't drink anything, only that comes out of this filtering system. One night I went out, and the cook was fixing some chicken and rice soup, and he just dipped over the bucket of his water and then boiled down and put it in. I said, no, you can't do that. I said, I only drink what comes out of this filtering system. He said, well, I did this last night. It didn't hurt you, did it? And Brother McCune had told me, if you get sick on the water, on food, you can fast. You get sick on the water, you got to get out of there. You can't live without that. And I got so deathly sick. They had to send somebody on a bicycle for 10, 15 miles to come get me, to take me to the nearest place where I could get help. And I had preached around. We start out in the morning to these churches. And All the pastor had was a bicycle. And he pedaled, and I rode on a carriage behind it. And I'd preach, and then he'd go to the next. They'd have a runner go ahead by the time I get done, and they had old tire rims, and they'd take a hammer and beat on that, and get, call the folks in. They'd get service started, and I'd go there and get ready for me to preach, and I'd preach, and I'd go to the next. And he said, I think we need to set up, I don't know what he called it, but like a brush arbor. So they prepared a brush arbor, and said, I'm going to get all my preachers and all my folks together, and said, we ought to have. He said, several thousand ought to come. So they began to prepare that brush arbor. And before the brush arbor got built, I prayed for some of the elders and baptized a couple of them. And God filled them with the Holy Ghost. But before we could have the big meeting, I got sick. And I left. I went down to the first place, and somebody said, well, you need to go on down to Fort Harcourt. And I got to Fort Harcourt, and the plane wasn't coming in all the time. And they said, we got a plane coming in a couple hours. So I just got on the plane. I thought, well, I'll take care of myself a little later. And I came on home. And I got on the plane, and they thought I had amoebic dysentery. And so the stewardess gave me some medication. I had to go by the way of Paris. And time I got there, and Rome first. And then went from Rome to Paris and come on home to make connections. I got to feel pretty good. But time I got back to New York City, I was so sick again. I called my wife and I said, I'm going to the mountains, and I mean I'm going to die. I'm embarrassed. I can never face my church. I can't face the lady that paid my fare. And all these churches expecting me to come back with a testimony. I said, nothing happened. Baptized a couple folks. No big meeting. No nothing. I said, it's a complete fiasco. She said, well, if you're sick, you got to come home. She talked me into coming home. And I said, I'll come home. You won't tell anybody. She gets on the phone, calls everybody in the country. I wouldn't go to church. Yeah. It's amazing how God can take and embarrass you to the very end to prove his own self. In the course of time, I got a letter from Brother Ackman. Brother Moore. Over 4,000 people showed up for our Brush Arbor meeting. Because the white missionary wasn't there, we began to pray for you. And while we were praying, the Holy Ghost fell, and over 2,000 received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A month later, he said, now over 4,000 now have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What he didn't know and what I didn't know, within a month after that, what they called the Bafarian Uprising that centered right in Abba took place, 1959. I tried my best to get a hold of Brother Ackman after that, and I have to assume he never wrote me again, that he died. I followed it very close, and I sent papers because having been there, and probably many of those people that were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit were slaughtered in that rebellion. And God saw it was coming. And God spoke by his miracle power to a little old local pastor to send way over to Anderson, Indiana to have somebody to come. I never had any movies. I got no pictures. I got no nothing. But a glorious report of how God got the glory. I came home, and I'm home for a few months. I picked up the Indianapolis Star, and I saw a plane that crashed on takeoff from Rome nonstop to Chicago. Flight number, date number. And I went in and I began to pull out my papers. Had I stayed my full time on itinerary, this is the flight I was supposed to come home on. And I told my wife at the table, and she went, oh! And I said, what's the matter? She said, I wasn't going to say anything about it. But she said, the week after you left, on a Sunday night in the middle of service, my daughter stood up and screamed. And they thought something happened to her. And she said, oh, excuse me. So I said, I just had a vision. That I saw my daddy get on a plane. And I saw that plane go down in flames, and nobody walked away from that plane. And that whole church got up and fell at the altar to pray for my safety. I was smitten with an illness. I came home early. One miracle after another. That it only God can get the glory out of. Not a thing in the world I had to do with it. But it was to his praise and his glory because of one little Nigerian brother. God's going to raise up a people in this day who's going to know him and walk in a relationship we never had before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has determined some things for us, for this age. And I'd like to just share just that before we look into what the crux of what I want to bring tonight. Somebody had asked me about in Daniel, and I'm going to start at the second chapter, and I want to read the 44th verse. 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it, this kingdom, shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Hallelujah. Now, dropping back to the 35th verse, talking about the stone that Daniel saw. And the last part of the 35th verse said, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Daniel, the 7th chapter, 13th verse. And I saw in night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion and shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. 18th verse, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now I want to positionally locate this. Daniel said in the midst of these kings, and Daniel has had a vision of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, who were world powers and the last of world powers. Last that ever will be a world power, because the next world ruler is not an antichrist, not a beast, not a dictator, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The word declares it. Hallelujah. But in the midst of these world powers, he said, the God of glory will set up a kingdom. Rome was in power when John the Baptist came on the scene. And the gospel say John came preaching the kingdom. The gospel says concerning Jesus, he came preaching the kingdom. The word of God says concerning disciples, they came preaching the kingdom. Not only did Jesus preach the kingdom, he manifested the kingdom. Not only did the disciples preach the kingdom, but as our brother said, they entered into the kingdom. In the midst of these kings, he sets up a kingdom. And this kingdom shall break in pieces every other kingdom. It's not abdicating to other kingdoms. It's taking over. And it becomes like a mountain. And it's going to fill the whole earth. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And that rock is going to grow and grow and grow and grow until it shall fill the whole earth and all the nations shall flow into it. How about the doomsday? Daniel, somebody asked me about this. I want to go into it. The 9th chapter, Daniel's so-called 70th week. It is the cornerstone of all futurist teachings. That's why it's important you understand what and who and where this 70 weeks transpires. Because people who have... See, Daniel said, I want to see concerning my people, Israel. And when they begin to figure, they have Daniel's 69 weeks running out sometime in the life of Christ, the early church. And all of a sudden, they got 7 years left over. Because when you begin to get the scale of this, it's like, you ever see an architect's drawing down the corner and said 1 inch? 1/4 inch equals 1 foot. So
When you understand the 70 weeks, you got to get the scale of it. And the scale of it is given unto us in the 25th verse of the ninth chapter. See, the 24th verse says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Knowing therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. Now, from the time they started rebuilding the walls, in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, when they rebuilt the walls, they said it's 7 weeks. It actually took them 49 years. So each week has to be 7 years. Therefore, from the beginning of that, not until Calvary, not until the day of Pentecost, but until the day of Jesus' baptism in River Jordan, that finished Daniel's 69th week when John stepped out and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." 3.5 years later, in the midst of the week, he is cut off, crucified, not for himself, but for others, for us. And by his death, he took away the daily sacrifice. That's not an antichrist. They're not going to rebuild a temple in Jerusalem. And an antichrist go in there for 3.5 years, reestablish sacrifice, and after 3.5 years, say you can't do it no more. That's not talking about the Antichrist. That's talking about my Lord and Savior. He disannulled all of the sacrifice. He entered in once and for all. This is why God will never, ever let there be another temple built over in Jerusalem. Now, I've told folks, if God ever allowed a temple to be built there, the first plane load would be a bunch of Pentecostals going over to offer up sacrifice. That's right. Amen. God can't allow it. Thank God the Arabs got it. Let them keep it. Amen. Because, see, in the Old Covenant, there was only 3 temples. And that was the tabernacle of Moses, which Samuel and David called a temple. There was the temple of Solomon. Then there was Hezekiah's temple, the temple that was rebuilt in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, Hezekiah. And that is the temple that was partly destroyed, remodeled, and became known as Herod's temple. Now, what makes a temple, and what makes it different from a synagogue was the Ark of the Covenant. Because the Lord, when he told them to build the Ark, and he said, put the cherubims above the Ark, and he said, there between the wings of the cherubim, I will commune with you. And God established an ongoing communication that had been lost in the garden. It was the beginning of an ongoing communication with his creation. Hallelujah. Even though it's through the prophets and the priests, he's now talking to his people. And when they carried that ark into the tabernacle, Moses couldn't go in for the glory to come and fill the tabernacle. And when they carried the Ark of the Covenant into Solomon's temple, the ministers couldn't minister for the glory of God. There's an ark coming. And they're not going to find an old ark over there somewhere. Not that one. Hallelujah. But God is going to have an ark that's going to fill the temple with such glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You talk about when it says the ministers can't minister. I want to tell you, men are not going to be able to put out their doctrines and say what they want to say, because the glory of God is going to keep them from putting out their doctrines and their ways and their thinking. They can't minister as a man. They're going to have to minister because of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But I was bothered because the Ark of the Covenant disappears in the days of Jeremiah. And I said to the Lord, but where is the Ark of the Covenant in Herod's temple? And the Lord said to me, the day I walked in, because Jesus is an Ark of God. He is the place where we commune with God. Hallelujah. And so the Ark of the Covenant was in Herod's temple. And with the destruction of Herod's temple in 70 A.D., God ended earthly temple worship forever. The hour is come and now is, when you'll not worship me in this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, but they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship him. Hallelujah. And he established a new covenant. And in the new covenant, there are three temples. The first temple, remember Jesus standing in front of the temple, said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. But they discerned not that he was speaking concerning his own body. So Jesus was the temple of God, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Paul writes to us over and over again, know ye not that your body is a temple, the temple of God? What makes you different than a man and woman out on the street is God lives in you. I've heard it said tonight. God said, I'll live in you. I'll be your God. You'll be my children. What makes me a temple is God's in here. Hallelujah. God of his presence dwells in me. Praise the Lord. I can commune with him. Hallelujah. The so-called millennial temple, quote unquote, temple of the future, is the corporate temple. That Peter said, know ye not that your lively stones build up for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now God said, if you be an overcomer, you not only be a temple, but you also can be a pillar in the eternal temple of God. And in the midst of this temple, God's going to dwell. He's in the midst of the brethren. He's in the church. He's the voice. He's the light. He's the communication of the church. Hallelujah. So there's no more restoration of something over in Jerusalem. Forget about it. Quit sending your offerings to buy a limestone to help build a temple over there. I mean, they annually take up offerings to that temple built over there. But it'll never happen. You need to give it to the corporate temple.
Hallelujah.
If you've got anything to give, you give it to the corporate temple. That's where God's going to dwell. Praise the Lord. But Daniel's 69th week ran out with the declaration that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And for 3.5 years, he walked among his own people, and they crucified him and set away with him. And yet, in his mercy and love, for 3.5 more years, he dealt solely with the household of Israel. The 120 on the day of Pentecost were all Jews. The 3,000 were all Jews. The 5,000 were all Jews. When it said, and the Lord added daily to the church, such as should be saved were all Jews. Now Israelites, yeah. And for 3.5 years, and after 3.5 years, I used to wonder, why did God take up so many or allow so much, a couple, two or three chapters to be given to the death and stoning of Stephen? Others died. So in my estimation, could have, you know, Peter is the chief apostle, or I mean the one that had the keys to the kingdom, and Paul was called the chief apostle, and there's not that much talk about their death. I said, then why is Stephen? And the Lord said, because he became my official spokesman to the high priest of Israel to reveal to them God's divine plan for the ages. And they rejected him and stoned him. And immediately, almost immediately, the Lord turned from the Jewish Israel nation unto the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name's sake. Now, the Lord had said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, because they'd asked these questions, when shall these things be? Matthew 24, third verse. Matthew 24 and 3. Tell us when shall these things be. What's the sign of that coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answers them. Amen. And every one of those answers are given to us in the Word of God. He's talking first about the temple, and that happened in 70 A.D. What is the sign of thy coming? I declare to you today that the sign of his coming was given on the day of Pentecost. How many have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If that's not a sign of his coming, that is assurance he's coming again. I have that sign in me. I'm as confident as anything you can think about, that he's coming again, because I have the earnest of that deposited in me. Hallelujah. And he said, we want the sign of my coming. It's the power of my spirit. That's the sign. I'm coming again. Hallelujah. What is the sign of the end of the world? In Hebrews, the 9th chapter and 26th verse said, took concerning Jesus, he who in the end of the world was offered up. Somebody said end of the age, but they don't say it. It said end of the world. The Bible tells me all that's in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And when you come to the place that none of this ever has any power over you anymore, that's the end of the world for you. That's the end of the world. Jesus came to a place where anything of this world had no more power over him. And he entered into a dimension and manifestation that we don't even fully understand, but we're going to have a body like his glorious body. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the power of this world will no longer have any power over us whatsoever. That's the end of the world for us. Hallelujah. Now, he said in the 21st verse, 15th verse, let me read 15th verse first. And he's speaking to the people there, the disciples, which became the message for the early church. And when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet, that's Matthew 24, verse 15. Matthew 24, 15. When ye shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Them which on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return and take his clothes. And woe to them which are with child, and shall give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. For then, see, when Israel refused Christ as their Savior, and they refused the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we then hear, as it were, Jesus by retroactive saying, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And this is the abomination. I forsake you. I leave you desolate. I turn to the Gentiles. And he said, when you see this happen, get ready. Because the great tribulation is about to take place. Not in 1993, 94, 95, 96, but in 60 A.D. Amen. Pray that, and history says that prophecy came warning the spirit-filled people, and every spirit-filled child of God that was in Judea and Jerusalem fled the country, and none of them were in the Holocaust that took place between 60 and 70 A.D. And you'll have to take my word for it. Get Josephus' book. Read what transpired. You talk about scorch the earth policy, the armies. We talk about, oh, when the armies are gathered against Jerusalem. That happened. Armies from Egypt and Assyria and Roman hordes came and gathered against Israel. And they said, we're going to wipe these folks out once and for all. And they ravished the women, and they burnt the cities, and they run them through with swords and ripped them open. And women who had babies were actually just ripped open with a sword. Josephus said when they got to Jerusalem that the soldiers grew weary of the slaughter, that bodies were stacked 5 and 6 deep, and they had to crawl over dead bodies to kill other people. There's never been such a Holocaust, including that happened in Germany, equal to what happened from 60 to 70 A.D. And the Lord says, I will never ever let this ever happen to any of my children again, not unto every generation. So we have a promise. It's not going to happen, or Jesus lied. And I believe the book. I don't care what preachers say about the horrible, horrible, horrible times. Trouble, yes, times of trouble. Trouble for the world. But for us, it's our day of victory. It's our day of deliverance. Hallelujah. God's set to bring us out of our insignificant relationship as far as the world's concerned. And we're going to stand as a mighty people. We're going to stand as a trump of God upon the face of the earth. And God's going to utter a voice through his church. And he's going to return a realm of manifested glory. I was told when I was a youngster, people couldn't imitate the Holy Ghost, but they did. I'm so glad when Labelaine come along and the gifts of the Spirit were being made manifest. I thought, boy, this is something the devil can't duplicate, but he is. But you remember Moses went into Pharaoh's court? Every time the Lord moved through him, the magicians duplicated it. But Moses didn't get discouraged. He kept moving till he finally got into a dimension that the magicians could not duplicate. And God said, be not discouraged in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. And God's going to raise up a people who've come through the fire. Now, if you get in the book of Revelation, you have what King James Version calls four beasts. You look in the margin, you look at other renditions, it says living creatures. That's one is like a lion. One is like a cat. One is like a man. And the other is like an eagle. That is a symbolic picture of the four Gospels. Because Matthew declares Jesus to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Mark declares Jesus to be the sacrifice or the calf. Luke declares Jesus the man. You want the little human interest stories about Jesus? You read the Gospel of Luke. You want to know about the divinity of Jesus? His ego relationship? You read John. John only recorded anything about his birth, his childhood. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was the God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I mean, he's boom. You want to know about his divinity? Read John. Matthew declares his lineage because it's his. Luke declares his lineage because for his human rights. But when you go back to Ezekiel, the first chapter, you find a company of people that's made like unto living creatures in the book of Revelation. And their feet comes through the fire. And God's taking the people through the fire. And he's conforming them to his image. And he sees them in the wheel, like a wheel in the middle, like an axle connected to a rim. And when the axle turns, the rim turns. And when the rim goes up, or the axle goes up, the rim goes up. Goes forward, it goes backward. We're going to be so tied with him that when he moves, we move. He goes forward, we go forward. Up, we go up. Hallelujah. This is a company of people, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Praise the Lord. Moses have been made like unto him. Hallelujah. Who come through, have taken on his nature. Who stand in the royal priesthood of their calling. Who are willing to be the sacrifice. And yet they sit in their humanity and know they're filled with divinity. Glory to God. Oh, God's got a people in this hour that's going to stand up. But we have looked for doom and gloom and why? My folks, I argue my folks, there's no sense in me going to college. Jesus may come even before I get to high school. Why waste that money and that time? I counseled a young couple, they was 18, 19 years of age. And I said, you're too young. They said, yeah, but we won't get married before Jesus comes. You know, we have been taught so many things that is not in total harmony. Number one, Acts said he cannot come back until all things which have been fulfilled, that all the prophets have spoke from time beginning, hallelujah. And God's got to have a people who comes into manifestation, and he's waiting on us. He's waiting on you. As our brother said, somebody's got to get desperate. We got to let God change us from what we are to be like him. We're headed for victory, but it depends on us. But Daniel's 70th week is not something stuck off. A horrible time of persecution and hell on earth. It's already transpired. Tribulation has been in the church from the very beginning. Paul endured tribulation. John said, I'm your companion in tribulation. And we've had some great tribulation, but the so-called the great tribulation of Matthew and the great tribulation spoke of in Revelation is this time period that took place from 60 to 70 A.D. that ravaged the country of Israel, and it became so bad. Matter of fact, they were so determined to wipe out Israel as a nation and Jerusalem as a city that the Bible said not one stone shall be left upon another, not even a wailing wall. The wailing wall was built in 187 A.D. It was not there. Every stone, I believe Jesus, not one stone was left upon another. It was not thrown down. They actually hauled in dirt and covered the city. And the prophet said, Jerusalem shall become a plowed field and a forest. And they planted trees. And for over 100 years, it was a forest to fulfill the word of God. So we don't want to turn the clock back. I'm looking forward to victory. I'm not looking forward to trouble. Excuse my phraseology. I've had enough hell. I'm looking for deliverance out of my hells. Amen. Through tests and trials, when I heard Brother Golden preaching this morning, I don't think I got enough grace as he's got. To stood what he said. I have to admire a man like that. Go through. And you've had your heartaches, and you've had your sorrows. And then that may be over with. But I've got a God that's going to deliver me. And I'm looking for the victory of my total deliverance. And I'm looking for a return. So I said, God's going to do something. I believe in this day he's going to return his Shekinah glory and make it visible when he comes to be glorified. Somebody said, in the Old Testament, the glory was seen. The glory was beheld. They beheld the glory. We sit in realms of glory. But I'm seeing the glory that God's going to fill his vessels. And they're going to stand, and there's no man is going to be able to duplicate that. You're going to see men like Moses, whose face is going to shine like the sun. You're going to see men like Stephen at the time of his death, with the glory of God going to be upon them. And they're going to walk in that glory. They're going to live in that glory. Hallelujah. Something ordained of God to manifest him, that they're going to know that this is God. And I believe nations are going to tremble and people are going to tremble. Hallelujah. And a lot of counterfeit. You know, our nation is being flooded, you know, with counterfeit money from Sudan. And so, you know, come out. Some people say, oh, this is the mark of the beast. This new money will come out with, you know, with the, you hold up some of the new 50s and $100 bills. They got that little strip between the paper, in the paper, so it can't be counterfeited. And there's a lot of counterfeit when it comes to things of God going on. And there's many honest-hearted Christians who's not able to tell the difference between the counterfeit and the real. And I believe God's going to shine his glory light down. And that which is of God is going to be made known. And that which is not of him is going to be exposed. And that which is not of him is going to perish. Many shall be the slain of the Lord in that day. You talk about revival. You talk about salvation. We're going to see people that started out. We heard of the part of it, the starting of it, the great revival that broke out there in Nigeria. And that's when they dropped in the bucket for what God wants to do. I was on my way to Havana, Cuba, back before Castro was in power. And they were beginning to have some problems down there. And military planes was flying, and we had to go into holding pattern. As with another minister, suddenly he went silent. And I kind of tapped him, and he's kind of looking out the window, and I said, you know, thank you for your thoughts. When he turned, tears was running down his cheeks. And I said, what's the matter? Oh, he said, I'm just thinking something glorious. I said, what? He said, won't it be wonderful when we can fly over cities like this? Be thou reconciled to the Lord and see whole cities turned unto God. Why have you limited the Holy One of Israel? The only limit God's got is the limit you put on him. And if we'll take the limits off of him, he'll take the limits off of you. And we're going to see victory. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to God tonight. I know about you, but I want him to take the limits off of me. I find that I'm the problem. You know, somebody said to me, what are you going to do about Thessalonians talking about the man of sin sitting in the temple? Well, I told you the Bible said you're the temple. And there's something that sits in here that wants to be worshipped above God. Your heart was made to be the throne of God. But most of you have got somebody else sitting on that throne rather than God. And I hear the prophet saying, I'll overturn and overturn and overturn until it's his right who is to rule on the throne. And he's not talking about Israel or the nation. He's talking about you. The only one that gives me my problem is me. You cannot keep me from being any more spiritual, only me. You're not the one that keeps me from praying. You're not the one that keeps me from seeking God's face. I'm the culprit. And how many times has God spoke to you and self begin to speak contrary to that? And you would not listen to the Spirit. You listen to self. Hallelujah. The Bible said, oh, but it's talking about the Holy Ghost. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out. That's talking about the Holy Ghost. And then that man of sin is going to be revealed. Well, Paul's not talking about a rapture. He had a good chance of, in this chapter ahead here, when he comes in flaming vengeance, flaming fire, take vengeance and obey not the gospel. He could talk about a rapture right there. If he's talking about a rapture, why didn't he put it in there? He missed a good opportunity to put it in there. He said, I'm talking about the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. Iniquity is that human will that is separated from the will of God. You know, if when the Lord had given you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he'd have zapped your will. He wouldn't have no problem at all with you. But he moved right in on top of that will. And he still lets my will function until Earl Moore gets that will out of the way. Now let us will let until we get rid of that will. Surrender that will to him. Hallelujah. How does that make life? I've heard misdeliverance services. God begin to point out things in your life that don't belong there. Get to it. And if we'll cry out to Jesus, when these things are revealed, he will come in the brightness of his coming. He will come in the power of his Spirit, and he will destroy those things out of you. Hallelujah. He's trying to destroy this old man of sin. He's trying to destroy this old will of mine. He's trying to destroy. See, perdition means destroyer. The reason Judas was called the son of perdition, he was a destroyer. Come to destroy the Son of Man. And this old self-will is my destroyer. It's my son of perdition. I must be delivered from. Thank God for his deliverance tonight. Deliverance in the power of his kingdom. In the place of his victory. That we shall live triumphant in Christ. Hallelujah. Beginning now throughout the ages of eternity. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want him to take the limits off of us. Whatever limits we put, whether it's religious, doctrine, traditions, denominational, we got to take the limits off. I pastored in Anderson, Indiana for 25 years. Pendleton, Indiana is a reformatory just a few miles from Anderson. Some of the folks at our church worked out there. They was bringing in some prisoners, orienting them to Pendleton. And they said to the boys, now, don't look upon this as a prison. Look upon this as your future home for the next 5, 10, 15 years. You're going to have all the pleasures. You're going to work 8 hours a day. Here's a gym. Here's pool. Here's all of this. Here's the library. All the privilege they had, and TV room. And you get sleep 8 hours. You can work 8 hours and have time for 8 hours and sleep 8 hours. All kind of liberty that you want. Only one thing. Don't try and get outside these walls. And I told the brother that told me that. I said, that sounds like some denominations I know. You got all the liberty you want. Just don't get outside the walls. But God wants to deliver you from that. Everything that's held you bound. Hallelujah. I'm going to take the limits off of God. So he can take the limits off of me. I'm going to keep standing. Let's go return things back to our pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whatever limits. You know, I heard our brother Wes praying. I've heard his brethren praying in deliverance. And because they pray for you in delivery, for deliverance, if you don't take the limit off, they can't reach in and pull those devils out of you. They can't reach in and just snap your finger. You have to let the limits come off of you. Hallelujah. You have to let the limits come off of you. You've got to believe God. Tonight, if there's been hindrances, get the limits off so God can do what he wants. That you can stand like Mary, be it unto me according to your word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you lift your hands? Let's ask God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask, oh God, tonight that you take the limits. You take the limits. But whether mental, whether physical, whether spiritual, regardless, hallelujah, the chains of the enemy, hallelujah, because the Lion of Judah hath prevailed to break every chain. Now take the limits off of us, oh God. Take the limits off of us, Lord, that we might have the unlimited dimension of God begin to move in our hearts and lives, that we might enter into the glories that thou hast prepared for us. For Lord, I sense there are dimensions of power and glory in you tonight that the world has not seen and does not know, but they're waiting for us, Lord, to move into our positions that you've ordained us to come to. Help us, O God. Help us not to draw back. For we know, Lord, that you have no pleasure in them to draw back. But, oh God, help us to press the battle to the gate. Help us to rise, oh God, in you, that we might see the victory of Christ manifested in every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name we ask it. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.